Good morning. I hope that you are having a happy holiday routine, enjoying the new year, and everybody's team won, right? No, I am so smart. My heart goes out to you. The team I was tracking won, so I can't tell you which one it is, lest I get you upset at me in case you were on the other team. But I am from Thomasville, and that's not far from Tallahassee, so that tells you about which team I was hanging out with. Some good football this weekend. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. When you get sick, the doctor prescribes something for you. The prescription comes now with identification for what the medicine is. It also gives you on the bottom of the medicine warnings. And in some cases, it gives a unusual amount of information about the product. And if you've ever sat down and read it, you're wondering why you're taking this medication. Because if it makes you well on one thing, it might make you sick in another area. So reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and we will stop there. But we will be looking at the total of the book of Ephesians. I'd like to say that we're going to be looking at the five W's for a prescription for 2017. The five W's. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Jesus Christ. Father God, to you this morning we give honor and praise and glory. We ask your special touch to our hearts that we might hear what you are trying to say to us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you endeavor to edify, to build up, and cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, I pray by the Holy Spirit this morning that you'll open our receptors that we may hear. And that not only we may hear, but that we may abide in your word and we may walk in your word and we may learn from your word this morning as you speak to our hearts. We love you, we praise you, and we honor you, and we glorify you, and we thank you for the anointing not only on our ears to hear, but also our hearts to receive and our person to walk out the love of God that you're teaching us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. When I look at the first chapter of Ephesians, I see an interesting element of the five W's. I see the wealth that we have. If I were going to be empowering something like a machine, a car, a telephone, it would all be activated by the battery or the source of energy that would activate that vehicle or that tool that I was using, whether it be a power tool or a telephone or a vehicle. If I look at the five W's, the package of the empowerment is found as the first W, which is our wealth that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul acknowledges to us and says to us, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes some of the attributes that we have received in Christ. When I was preparing this message, I was thinking about using this as the tail end instead of the beginning of the sermon. Because if you look at the end of this sermon, you're going to say, we cannot do any of this without the ability to have the power pack, the attributes that God has laid out for us to have in the first chapter. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Not only has He blessed us, but He has chosen us in Him. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I know when the rubber hits the road and you're going through a rough place, it doesn't seem like you're blessed. But if you look in the battery pack of God's Word in Ephesians chapter 1, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only are you blessed in Christ Jesus, but you are chosen in Christ Jesus. He has chosen you in Him. He's chosen you before the foundation of the world. And as soon as you raise that hand or turn that allegiance of your heart away from yourself to Jesus Christ and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He has chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world. He has chosen you to be holy and blameless before Him. If you're holy and blameless before Him, then you're going to be holy and blameless in conversation, which means lifestyle in your neighborhood and in your family and in your culture that you're living in. Not only has He called us to be chosen, but He's called us as adopted sons of God. You are adopted in Him. He's predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ Himself. That adoption occurs, and it's quite unique to the culture of the Roman Empire that when you adopted a child, that adopted child was legally yours and you could never disown him, whereas a natural child that was born into your family, you could by his bad behavior disown him in saying, I have no part to do with him and I will not give him part of the inheritance. But under law, under Roman law, you would be forced to give to the adopted child. Aren't you glad that you're adopted into the family of God and you have been a recipient and have now become a recipient of the inheritance that Christ has for you, eternal life? Not only are we adopted in Him, but we are redeemed by His blood. Think of the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's hill. That power had the immense ability to cleanse, not only cover, but cleanse each one of us of every sin in our life. So even though I might sin, I might make a mistake, I might miss the mark, which is what sin means, even though I might miss the mark, Jesus is continually allowing the blood of Jesus Christ to continually flow to cleanse me of each and every sin. So my wealth is that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I am chosen in Him. I am adopted. I am redeemed by His blood. Therefore, I am forgiven for my trespasses. He has lavished us with the riches of His grace, and He's revealed the mystery of His will. And then He goes on to say that we have obtained an inheritance. That's why we're called not only heirs, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything He owns, you own. You've become a part of the inheritance that God has designed for you to have. And the beauty part about it is not only has He redeemed you by His blood, forgiven you of your trespasses, He has lavished on you all wisdom and insight, and He's made known to you the mystery of His will, and you have obtained an inheritance, and guess what? He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. As a young man, I had a little company called Stewart Fire Extinguisher Company down in Vidalia, Georgia. And one of the ways that you made the fire extinguishers that I worked with become sealed was you took a Vaseline and you took the valve itself and you coated it in Vaseline, then you pressurized the container, and as the pressure bore against this sealed portion of the top part of that fire extinguisher, it sealed it so it just wouldn't go off with a raise in temperature or a lowering of the temperature. It was sealed until you actually mashed the handle of the fire extinguisher to cause it to work. We are sealed, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have God working in our life. So the wealth, the power pact of what we have in Christ Jesus is in Christ Jesus, and it's a gift from Him, and He has given it to us. If we're in Christ, where is Christ? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father. Where is Christ? Well, you say, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And that is true. But where is Christ? Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the next verse says, above all rule and authority and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He, speaking of the Father, put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Where is Christ? He's at the right hand of the Father. What kind of authority does He have? He has all authority. Let every name that be named be under the name of Jesus Christ. There's no more powerful name than the name of Jesus. Are you wrestling with an addiction? Are you wrestling with a problem in your life? Are you wrestling with something that is causing you to get outside the boundaries of life itself? Turn that over to Jesus Christ and allow Him to work through your life and allow Him to empower you, because the same Jesus that is sitting at the right hand of the Father is also Christ in you, the hope of glory. As John said, He is in you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is of the world. Therefore, everything that is named can be under Him. And if it's under Him, it gives you power, because you have the victory through Jesus Christ that now operates through you and in you. Everything is under His feet. If it's under His feet, then it's under your feet, and you have the ability to walk in Christ and have victory over that that's bothering you the most. If we're in Christ, where is Christ? He's raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and all things are under His feet and over all things to the church. Who's in charge of the church? Jesus, who loves you more than anything else that you'll ever think of or can imagine in your mind. Jesus. The five W's, we cover the wealth. That's the package that we have. Let's look at the work. Now, when I think about work, I think about toil. When I think about work, I think about sweat. When I think about work, I think about a job. When I think about work, I think about a vocation. But that's really not the implication of what Christ is trying to teach us through this work that He's talking about, or Paul is trying to teach us through this work. He begins in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and he says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." He begins to describe the person we were before we met Jesus Christ. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. So if you're dead in the trespasses and sin, he goes on to say, you walked according to the course of this world and you live by the lust of your flesh. But as soon as you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you had some transforming effect going on in your life. A life that you once lived that you lived according to the course of this world is now passing away. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. God has done a work in the spirit of man that is inside of you and made a new spirit within you and given you a new man that Paul refers to in his writing. And that new man is a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the work is not the work that you do that's important. The work is the work that God has done in you. The work is being able to overcome living in the lust of your flesh. Verse 5 of chapter 2 says, but God. What a powerful two words there. But God. You were living in your trespasses. You were living in your sin. You were following the lust of your flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, you were the children of wrath. In other words, you were walking in rebellion. Any of your children ever do that? Do you ever do that? Do you, as a child of God, ever say no? I don't think I want to do it that way, God. I think I want to do it my way. And you know what God says? He doesn't say, no, you can't do it your way, son. He said, go ahead. I'll let you do it that way. But there are consequences. And then you find yourself doing it that way. And like the Israelites, you go through a backsliding course of life, and you find yourself away from the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit starts tugging you and pulling you back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find yourself being refreshed, and you find yourself renewing the love that you had to start with, because when you met Jesus, you fell in love with him. You could smell flowers you couldn't smell before. You could hear birds you couldn't hear sing before. Life was totally different because the power of the Holy Spirit was drawing you to the Savior, to Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. But God. We often think of the work as what we do. Verse 13 says, now in Christ, we who were afar off, we have been brought near by the blood. In this whole chapter, it talks about bringing the Jew and the Gentile together, bringing all kinds of cultures together. The only way you can bring cultures together is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. By the blood. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9 says, not as a result of works, lest any man boast. You can't get enough stars at the beginning of Sunday school for having good attendance. You can't serve as an elder or deacon or in the greeting committee and work your way into the kingdom of God. This is a message of grace, and God's grace is unmerited love and favor. He has extended to you, and he lavishes that upon you. He loves you so much, and he has poured it out upon you. The work is the work of God. It's not a work that you do. Verse 18, for through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father. Verse 19, no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And you've been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We're a building that's being fit together. We're growing in a holy temple unto the Lord. So Paul says, you gotta have wealth. You gotta have work, but it's not your work that counts. It's the work of God working in your life that counts. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend, verse 18, the love of Christ to him that is able to do far more abundantly beyond that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That power is Jesus Christ. So we've looked at the wealth. We've looked at the work. We've established that that work is a work of grace. It's a work of God's work in our lives. Let's look at the walk. The walk starts off in chapter 4 and it says it like this. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you were called. With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. There's a theme that keeps coming out in this book of Ephesians, and the theme is love. God's grace is extended in giving the wealth that you have in Christ. God's grace is extended in doing the work that He has done in your life. You're not an old creature anymore. You're now a new man in Christ Jesus, a new woman in Christ Jesus. But the constancy in all of this is the love of God walking and moving in your life. So walk in a manner worthy of the calling, in all humility, and so on. And in chapter 5, verse 1, there's almost a confusing element there. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. The walk should be one of imitation. But it's not imitation as in copycat. It's not imitation as in actor. It's imitation because you have achieved something that Jesus achieved. It's because Jesus, when He was confronted by those that would like to stand against Him, when Jesus was confronted, Jesus responded to those He confronted to, was confronted by, and He said, I don't do my own work. I do the work of my Father in John 5, verse 9. He said, not only do I do the work of the Father, but I just do what I see the Father do. So if the Father heals, Jesus heals. If the Father delivers, Jesus delivers. If the Father loves, Jesus loves. And He's telling us something about the Father. This Father that we serve is a Father of love, of grace, of mercy that has been extended to us all. And the Son is living the life of the Father. And being an imitator is not being a copycat. Being an imitator is not being a hypocrite and trying to, in your own self, become a righteous person. But being an imitator is living the life of another. And that other is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who walks in love, in humility, and grace. If you look at verse 15 through 18, it tells us how to walk. Therefore, be careful how you walk. And He talks about not being unwise. He talks about managing your time, verse 16. He talks about your thinking. Understand what the will of the Lord is. It talks about your drinking. It talks about, and don't be drunk with wine. If you're going to get drunk, for goodness sakes, get drunk with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. It talks about your thought pattern and your conversation, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're talking about the prescription for living a successful life in 2017. And we've just got to the third W. So in our walk, it should be a walking out of Jesus in our relationships. It goes on in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and it talks about relationships in the family. Children, obey your parents. It talks about fathers, don't exasperate your children. It talks about how you should love each other and allow the love of Jesus Christ to flow in your life, even when you're home, not just when you're at church on Sunday morning. It talks about employees and employers and how we should serve one another and be obedient and fall in line to where we should be. But the important principle in all of that, relationships with employer and employees and in relationships in the family, is show no partiality. In verse 9 of the latter chapter. The five W's. The wealth, the work, the walk. Now let's look at chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual wickedness of high places, or spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you might be able to stand in every day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taking up the shield of faith with which you're able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints, and pray on my behalf. Do you see what all of this kind of gels down to? We talked about the wealth, we talked about the work, we're talking about the walk, and now we're talking about the warfare. You're walking along in life spiritually. Bam! Out of the middle of nowhere, something happens that you didn't expect. Does that not happen to you? It happens to me. What's behind all that? Daniel said, I prayed and I didn't get an answer for God. And then the angel of the Lord said to Daniel, your prayer was answered. It just took 21 days to get here. It had to go through the legions of the Persian elements of the powers that be. Do you know that God knows what you're going to pray before you even pray? Did you know that God has an answer for your prayer before you even pray? And sometimes you pray and you ask for God and you ask things from God. Do you pray according to the will of God, which is the Word of God? If you're praying contrary to the will of God, you're not going to get the thing that you're asking for. But if you align your prayer up with the Word of God, you're going to be the recipient. God hears your petition and He desires for you to have the petitions that you desire of Him. So when you petition God in your prayer, God wants to answer your prayer. He is making you the object of His prayer. And at the same time, He is sending an answer to your prayer. But oftentimes we fail to put on the whole armor of God. Let's talk about the helmet. That could very well be the mind of Christ. Are you thinking fleshly or carnally? Are you thinking spiritually? Are you going back to chapter 5 and singing hymns and songs and hymns and praising the Lord? Or as the next verse says, are you giving thanks in all things? Or do you find it when you stumble along in life, you become a little grumble bunny because you didn't get your way, rather than saying, in all things I give Him thanks? You see, God wants to bless you powerfully, but it's got to start here with your head thinking the right thing, with your mouth singing the right thing, with your conversation being more than what it is in the words that come out of your mouth. But your conversation has become a lifestyle that you're living out the life of another living inside of you. And that inside of you is Jesus Christ. And when I see your life, I should see the love of Jesus Christ. I need more than a helmet to be a good soldier. I need good boots to be in the army of God. But I need a breastplate of righteousness. I need for my heart to be right. Not only my head to be right, but my heart to be right. And if I adhere to Romans chapter 5, I will understand that the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad in my heart the love of God. And that is not Eros love. That is not friendly love, filial love. That is agape love. That's the love that I can't experience without God allowing me to experience it. It's His kind of love. And it's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Having my loins girt about with truth. Not trying to stand for the wrong, but stand for the right. Having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He didn't ask me to go be a missionary. He asked me to occupy until He comes. He asked me to go into all the world. But if you look at the literal translation of that, it is, as you go, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants us to be actively involved. You don't have to be a preacher to be in ministry. You can be in your vocation and your line of work and be a witness for Jesus Christ and allow the love of God to flow out of you and allow your mind to be thinking the right thoughts and your mouth to be singing psalms and praising the Lord and walking in Him. The wealth, the walk, the work, the warfare. He that is within you is greater than he that is of the world. You've got this one, my friend. Allow Him to live out His life in you so that you become a powerful person in Christ. The last part of the verse of the chapter, verse 24, says, grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. I never paid much attention to that. But if I'm going to come up with the fifth W, I got to say, not only is there wealth in Christ, there's work in Christ, there's walk in Christ, there's warfare in Christ, but there's also warning. And the warning was given to us by John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 2. And the warning goes like this. I know your deeds and your toil. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to the churches that are in existence that day and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that this applies to today. I see your toil and perseverance and that you tolerate evil, do not tolerate, cannot tolerate evil men. And that you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have my perseverance and have endured for my name's sakes and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. Remember I said, every prescription usually got a warning label. And here's the warning label that tags along with the five W's that you have left your first love. This next verse in verse 5 of chapter 2 says, I want you to repent. Ephesians was the example of the greatness of a church. Paul started it on his missionary journey. When Apollos was at Corinth, he couldn't go to Corinth because Apollos was there, and he went north to Ephesus. And he taught there for 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. And he left the school of Tyrannus and stayed another year. And he built there. His first message to them was, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And the people of God just said, "We haven't even heard there's the Holy Spirit." And so he taught them the message of receiving the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And on his last missionary journey, when Paul returns back to Jerusalem and entreats the fathers of the church, the 12 men that he labored and planted and poured out his message of Jesus Christ, of love and the wealth they have and how they could walk in him and how the work of God could take place in their lives and how they could grow in Christ Jesus, they came to visit him in Jerusalem. It became the Alps of the New Testament. It was such an Everest, you might say, in Christian example of what a church should be like. But yet this church that blossomed, this church that stood so high, this church that was so beautiful, this church that had changed its cultural community, this church that had changed its diversified community, this church from the Revelator has a message that says, "I want you to go back and examine your heart and see if you possibly have left your first love." And the first love is not, the love there is agape love. It's God's love. Have you left the God kind of love that you had when you were saved? Are you as excited about Jesus today, the day you surrendered to him? You know, when you first meet your first love and you just fall in love with them, I ask the question to several people. I said, "What was it like when you had your first love?" And they would say, "Oh, I couldn't think of anything else but him. I couldn't think of anything else but her. I'd walk out the door, I'd be thinking about her. I'd be thinking about him. I would be thinking about my first love." But I want to ask you today, in 2017, as you look for this prescription to be able to successfully go through this year successfully for Jesus Christ, have you a need to return to your first love? Is that joy there? Is that peace that passes all understanding there? Is that relationship with Jesus there? Are you in love with Jesus? Is he everything to you? Or is he third on your list? Or fifth? Or is he just a convenient Jesus that happens to hang out with you on Sunday morning? Or do you take him to work? Does he go with you everywhere? Would you bow your head? Father God, search our hearts this morning. It's wonderful to know that we've got the power pact of wealth that we have in Christ, that we're chosen in you, that you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that you have redeemed us by the blood of Jesus, that we stand as new creations in Christ Jesus. It's glorious to know that the work of God is your work, not our work. And that what we have is grace, unlimited, unmerited love and favor from God. And the walk you're calling us to is a walk of one that can be of humility, gentleness, kindness, patience, the fruit of the Spirit operating in our life. Oh Lord, help me to examine my heart, that I not be lacking as this church in Revelations was by losing my first love. And the fire that kindled that first love initially, I pray, Lord, would kindle that fire in all of our hearts again. In Christ's name. And the people of God said, amen. As the invitation is given, I would like to extend that invitation to you and allow you to come forward, and we'll meet you in the altar if you would like to join Grace Fellowship. If you'd like to renew your vows to the Lord on the first day of the year, this is a very unique opportunity that you have. It's not often that we have first days of the year on Sunday. It would be a good way to start your year. And if you'd like to pray the simple prayer, Lord, renew my first love, would you come as we sing?
I this morning have had the opportunity to do two things I don't normally get to do. One was go out and help with the greeting and the umbrellas. The other was to spend some time with your kids this morning in Powerhouse. You got some great kids. And they're annoying. I mean, no, they're wonderful. They're wonderfully annoying, or annoyingly wonderful. I don't know. But you knew that. You knew that. But I just got a chance to sit down and share with them this morning. That was really a neat experience. And so, don't believe anything they told you. No. We had a great time this morning. The Lord is here. I will have to go back and listen to, Michael's message to pick up on the things that he shared with you this morning. But it's obvious that he brought from the heart of God, that he brought a message to you, and it spoke to many. And what a great way to begin a new year, for hearing from God. And God's not finished. You know, it's not just turning over a new leaf. It's actually making the decision that this year, this day, I'm no longer going to be Lord of my life. I'm going to let Jesus be who he is, Lord. And I'm going to choose to follow him. And so I want to share a couple of decisions with you. Thank you, Ray. So, Gabriella, you're on the top card here, so you come on up here with me if you would. And is your last name pronounced Hodo?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, all right. I got that right. It should be easy, H-O-D-O. So so that's wonderful. Well, yeah, you probably heard quite a few. Now, you've accepted Christ, and you need to be baptized. Is that right? All right. She is. So, Gabriella. Gabrielle has made a decision to follow Christ, and her desire is to follow him in baptism, to become a part of the life of this church. And so we're excited about that. And if you as the church family would welcome her on her profession of faith, and if you as a church family would baptize her as she enters into the life and the family of this church, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
And Tristan, I'll ask if you'll also come and stand here. Tristan Haskins, right? Hawkins. That looked like an S. Never mind. Okay, Hawkins. Sorry about that. I should have known that. Many of you have gotten a chance to know Tristan already. She has been a part of our life. She is one of the smiling faces and singing voices when our choir is on stage, and a lot of wonderful things. Tristan, you are already baptized as a believer. Yes, what I thought. Tristan today comes on her desire to become a part of the life of our church, and she doesn't have a church of which she is a, well, she's got a, that's your dad's church. So she is not currently a member of a church. So she comes today asking you to receive her on her or it's called It's on her profession of faith, but it's on her statement of faith that she's been previously baptized so that we won't but not be doing that. But on her desire to come and be a part of our family, which is really the most important thing. And that's some of what we talked about this morning, with the kids in Powerhouse. And if you'd receive Tristan, if you'd commit yourself to pray for her and to stand with her and to encourage her as she comes to be part of our family, would you signify by saying amen? And this goes to show I probably should let Michael preach more often. What a great start to a new year. And I'm so glad to be part of this church family myself. And I'm glad that you two are part of our family as well. And Ray and David, I'm going to let you guys go ahead and take them out to the name tag board. As you come to put your name tag back up on the board, would you stop by and just let these two know just how happy you are that God has brought them into the life of our church. Michael, thank you for being faithful and bringing God's word. Parents, thank you for entrusting your children to me this morning. That's a scary thing to do. And as we close in prayer, I'd like us all to stand, if you would. I'm not going to ask you to join hands because I've heard there's a lot of stuff going around. So you can do so in spirit. Lord God, you are faithful. Would you continue to surprise us? Would you continue to bring things into our life that would thrill our souls? And would you give us the eyes to actually see it? Lord, we want to see what you're doing. And we want to join you in what you are doing. And so, Lord, thank you. Father God, thank you for being our dad. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming to live in us. Jesus, thank you for saving us, for calling us both friend and brother and sister. And Lord, we want to embrace our mission to bring glory to you, God, by bringing people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we go out, Lord, declaring that people matter and that Jesus saves. Now, Lord, let us live it. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.